Welcome back to The Off-Peak, a video series from Charged Fleet covering electric vehicles and fleets. I'm editor and Off-Peak host Martin Ramju. In this episode, we explore a macro challenge for electric vehicles, finding enough minerals supply to build all the EV batteries needed for mass electrification. We hear from Lewis Black, CEO of Almonty Industries, a company that is a leading producer of tungsten, a critical mineral needed for EV batteries. Among the questions we address, what is the state of global supply for crucial metals? What is the outlook for lower cost EV batteries? And what alternatives to current batteries could be emerging? All right, Lewis Black of Almonty Industries, thank you for joining us on Charged Fleet.
Thanks for having me, Martin.
So let's just start with the basics here. What exactly is the role of tungsten among the materials used for electric vehicle batteries, and how critical is its function?
Well, tungsten really has two primary roles. One is obviously in the construction of the car itself, because the construction is very similar to an aircraft. So a lot of rivets, and they use tungsten inserts. So this is the one of the primary functions. The other one is more to do with the technology side. They use it on the anodes and cathodes on the batteries, as well as extensively through the wiring looms in the car, because one, it's a very conductive metal, and secondly, it can take an awful lot of heat, meaning that you can rapidly charge, or you can faster charge these batteries, and they're not combustible. So it has a very essential role in the EV market.
Now, when you look at the overall global supply of tungsten compared to nickel, lithium, and cobalt, and other ingredients of EV batteries, how does it stack up in terms of longevity and supply?
Well, roughly 90% of the world's tungsten is produced either by Russia or China, China being predominantly the largest one. Tungsten in the 50s and 60s was more valuable than gold. So the deposits that we know of in Western democracies are all but played out, because there was a huge tungsten rush back then. And so it is a declining resource. Most of the major resources are in countries that perhaps we have some ups and downs with, like, for instance, China and Russia. We're very fortunate, and what we do is that we only operate in democracies. We're the last man standing. So we're reopening the world's largest tungsten mine in South Korea. But basically, unlike lithium or nickel or cobalt, well, cobalt's really just from DRC, so that's not fair. But it's a very similar kind of dynamic. But lithium and nickel, there is an abundance of it around the world.
So tell us real quick, where are the mines that are run by Almonty Industries? Which countries?
Spain, Portugal, and South Korea.
Okay. Now, when you look at lithium-ion batteries, what are some of the alternatives that could emerge that are not as dependent on the key ingredients that are used now?
I think lithium is always going to be the basis of any technologies going forward, because ultimately it does its job so well. The key seems to be is how can you push more nickel into these batteries, because more nickel means longer charges, which means you've got more range. The issue has always been cobalt. Cobalt has always been the problem. One, because it's a carcinogen. It's a particularly unpleasant metal to process. And it's combustible. When this thing catches fire, it will burn for 48 hours. There's nothing you can do about it. So I think the development is going to be more in the replacement of cobalt than the lithium or the nickel. Mm-hmm.
So will we be seeing solid state batteries? Are there any specific types that that will be emerging as competitors or alternatives?
I think in the mass market, not initially, but ultimately this is a bit like the BlackBerry, where we went from the BlackBerry to the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Things are going to occur extremely quickly. I mean, if you think it was only, 20 years ago, it was a flip phone. And you were the coolest guy on the block with a flip phone. Who would know how it's transitioned in 20 years? The consumer is demanding this product. Generally, that brings the smartest guys in the room into the equation. They know what the consumer wants, and ultimately, we will get there. But what form it'll be in is still unknown. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your perspective on media reports that assert there are not enough global supplies, or at least accessible ones, of the crucial metals that are needed to create batteries for mass electrification?
They're quite right. There really is about a 10-year lag to what governments would like to do and what actually can be done. I think that ultimately the risk that I think government is running is this mandate of you must have an EV by a certain date. Because generally, especially in democracies, we don't like to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I look in Europe. So the sales of EVs have slowed significantly in Europe. Everybody wants a hybrid. Firstly, because they had a harsh winter in Northern Europe and they found the cars didn't operate so well, the EVs, with the current technology. And secondly, because they're being told by 2030, 2035, there's no more availability of any other car except an EV. And people are like, you know what? I don't like a mandate. So in answer to your question, we don't have enough critical metals. It's going to take at least a decade to get some equilibrium in the market. But the other factor is, are we going to need as many of these critical metals? Because I think the demand for EVs is losing some of its luster because people are being forced to go down that road.
Mm-hmm. So until they find more of a steady supply, what is going to be the cost outlook, especially in this decade, for some of these EV battery metals that are so essential?
This is a luxury item. It's a classic supply and demand. If you have more demand than supply, prices are going to remain stubbornly high. Economies of scale is what brought them. It took Henry Ford to come up with the idea of a production line to bring the cost of a vehicle down. Before then, vehicles were a luxury item. This is identical. Ultimately, you need economy of scale to bring the prices down of EVs. But when you are facing a fundamental shortage of raw materials, you're going to exacerbate these costs for some time.
So what does that mean for the prices of EVs? As you're well aware, Tesla has cut prices 20%, and it seems as if the price increases have backed off. Will we just see volatility in the years ahead for the price of an EV, or will they steadily rise, decline? What's the way to size that up?
I think you're going to see a volatility. I mean, I'm not sure that Tesla has cut prices because it's become cheaper for them to produce the vehicle. It's more about, A, there's obviously an inflationary issues to be addressed right now, and two, you're trying to protect your market share. They're still the dominant leader, but in the last 12 months, every man and his dog has now jumped into the EV market. Every car manufacturer has an EV program, and Tesla is going to have to fight hard to maintain its market share.
Mm-hmm. Now, with so many OEMs and suppliers trying to line up enough supply of metals and key ingredients, we hear a lot about the global human rights standards in some of these countries where these materials are mined. What should they be doing to ensure that they comply or at least follow some of the basic standards?
Well, this is a very difficult situation. Because not everyone plays on a level playing field. So if your competitor is willing to look the other way in acquiring the product that you need to be able to produce, you find yourself at a competitive disadvantage. So I think at the moment, suppliers are looking at, they would like to see greater transparency of their supply chain, greater compliance with ESG. But given that currently there's no real choice, they're kind of caught in a sort of a moral conundrum. What do you do? This is not an easy problem to deal with. You're going to have to, in many ways, overlook perhaps some of the frailty of the transparency of your supply chain in order to remain in business until such time that governments or industry has come up with a plausible and realistic way of addressing greater transparency in the supply chain, which means obviously more diversity in supply.
Mm-hmm. Now, from the standpoint of fleet managers, many of whom are in the early stages of electrification or contemplating it and trying to figure out the timing of when to start the process, how much confidence should they have in the future of low-cost EV batteries and a steady supply of batteries so that when they order vehicles, they know they can get them on time?
Well, I think the supply of batteries has been relatively straightforward. I mean, 74% of them are produced in China. The main issue has been semiconductors has created backlogs. But in terms of go forward costs, the cost of batteries will come down as there's greater, again, economies of scale. As you produce more, you get more efficient, more organized, you just essentially get leaner. The problem is going to be is if consumers start to back away from this product, because then you're in a situation where you could have a fringe product rather than a mainstream one. And if you go back 10 years, if we spoke about any kind of environmental car, a hybrid was the center of the universe. An electric vehicle was a golf buggy, and that was it. We've kind of in the decade, hybrids have been sort of pushed to one side because the EV is the future. But what we're seeing in Europe will for sure transition over to here to the US. Absolutely. People don't like being told that from a certain date, they no longer can choose what they want. They don't like it. Mm-hmm.
So lastly, with Almonte Industries, any new ventures, any mining operations, anything opening up in the next few years that will be enhancing your current supply?
Yes, we're reopening the world's largest tungsten mine in South Korea. It's currently under construction. Mm-hmm. So we hope during the later part of this year we'll commission. But obviously, South Korea is the largest consumer of tungsten per capita in the world, not just from the EV battery market, but semiconductors, as well as hard metals and defense. So I think we're in a very good location. And it's, one of our mandates has always been, we only will operate in democracies because, well, we like to sleep at night, and we mm-hmm. our customers demand transparency, and that's why they're very loyal to us. But it's not easy. And opening a mine now in a democracy is not for the faint-hearted. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's unfortunately all the time we have. I know there's more we could talk about, and certainly a topic we want to keep track of. Thank you very much, Lewis Black, for joining us on Charged Fleet. Thanks to Lewis Black, CEO of Almonte Industries, for his big picture primer on EV metal resources. Remember to follow and connect with us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sign up for our weekly Charged Fleet e-newsletter to stay up to date on the latest EV industry news. I'm Martin Romju with Charged Fleet. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again here on another deeply mined episode of The Off-Peak.